Long ago, there was a man who later would be a saint by the name of Ephratus, Saint Ephratus. And this man, he was born in Persia. But later on, he moved and lived a life of solitude in Turkey. And people learned of his holiness and learned of his sanctity, and they wanted to come and see him. They wanted to come and be with him for periods of time and learn from him. And so one of these people that came to him was Athamos. The man's name is Athamos. And he was a man that was, he was an ambassador from one country to Persia. And so he happened to find himself in that country not long before coming to see Saint Ephratus. And so he was there and he thought, you know what, I'm going to see this holy man and I want to do something nice for him. I want to give him a gift. And so he looked around and he picked out a nice robe from Persia. He bought this robe and brought it to Saint Ephratus. And he said that, you know, he presented the saint with the robe, and he said, you know, it's said to me that people love the things from their homeland. They like the things best that come from where they're from. And so, because I was in Persia, and I knew I was going to come and see you, I brought you this robe from Persia that you can have for yourself. And Saint Ephratus, he took the robe, smiled, and laid it down next to himself, saying nothing, and continued on conversation about any myriad of topics, all of which had nothing to do with the robe whatsoever. It's as if he never even addressed it in the first place. And Athamos was a decent man, and he didn't take offense to it. He thought it was a bit strange, but you know, he didn't take offense to it. He didn't bring it back up again. He just continued that conversation with the saint. And then at one point, he had a question about a topic that was bothering himself. And so we looked at Saint Ephratus and he asked him about a situation dealing with his servant. He had a servant who has been faithful to him for 16 years. And he had grown very attached to this servant. He cared for him dearly. And the servant never ever let him down, was the best servant he could ever dream of having. Yet another man came to him, asked for a job as a servant, and that man was from his home country, from Athamos' home country. And so he felt this desire to give the servant job to the new man, because of that idea that he came from his home country, whereas this other servant was from a foreign land, but served him well for all this time. And he said, you know, I don't want to really give up my old servant, because he's been so faithful to me. Yet this new servant is really kind of drawing, because he comes from my home country, and I feel like I almost owe it to him, because he comes from that homeland. What should I do? Who should I keep as a servant? And Saint Ephratus said to him, it would be foolish for you to cast away your faithful servant of 16 years and replace him with a new person whom you know nothing about, but all you know is that he comes from your home country. That's no reason for casting aside your faithful servant. And Thamus, hearing this, made sense to him, and he agreed that that's where he felt his heart was telling him to do, and he agreed that was the right thing to do, and so he was satisfied with that. But Saint Ephratus was not done with that lesson. He then picked up the robe and handed it back to him. And he said, you know, thank you for giving me this robe, but you see, I already have a robe, and it's been faithful to me for 16 years, and it's still in good shape. And so to have this is unnecessary. And so I give it back to you, and you can do it the way you please. And there was no quarrel at all with Athamos. In fact, he got the message. He understood it, and he went forward, recognizing the holiness of this saint. And so the lesson, the ultimate lesson for that, is not about servants, and it's not about robes, but it is about us and God. Because the same goes for us as that servant to Nathanael. That we have God, who's been our faithful servant for our entire lives. He's never left our side. He's never let us down. He's never done anything wrong to us. Instead, he's only looked out for our betterment. He's looked out for the saving of our souls all the way to the end. And so God is that faithful servant unto us. And yet, like in things, we're drawn to something new. We're drawn to things of our own home country, if you will. We view ourselves as coming from, you know, here, as in Earth, if you will, I guess, or, you know, this life. We view ourselves as coming from here. And so we see things in this world, and they draw us, they attract us, they distract us. We're tempted by them. They look like a shiny object to us. And we take them unto us as our new servant, these certain things. Yet they have little or no value whatsoever. All these things of the world that attract us are cheap. They're like cheap sunglasses. They might look really nice. They might even be somewhat comfortable. And they seem to allow us to go outside into the sunlight and to be able to open our eyes without having to squint or have it be painful. But in reality, those cheap sunglasses are just tinting, and all of the harmful rays of the sun still come in through them and damage our eyes. The things of the world are just like that. They look nice. They seem nice. They cause us to have some element of pleasure, like that of not squinting in the sunshine. But it doesn't keep harm from coming to us. It doesn't keep us and our souls safe, moving towards that ultimate end in our life. And every one of us has certain things of the world that draw us, that tempt us. You know, the old saying is that I've never met a temptation that I didn't like. Because that's why it is a temptation. It is drawing to us. It attracts us. It is one thing or another that appeals to us. Some are drawn to money. Some are drawn after food or after drink. Some are drawn to various things of sensuality. Some are drawn after comfort and worldly entertainment. All of these things draw us, and oftentimes, sometimes it's even more than one thing, but every one of us has our muse. Every one of us has that thing that attracts us of this world that we have to fight against our own inclinations to be able to resist the temptation. It's always there, and we jump from one to another to the next little temptation that comes our way as if they were cheap trinkets. Because that's what they are. They don't provide us lasting satisfaction. They don't provide us eternal pleasure and happiness. It's over in a flash. It's over in an instant. We use it, and it's gone. And we're left with nothing except a bigger hole than was there before. Because we've replaced that hole of where God is supposed to be with something cheap. And it leaves us and creates a bigger hole leaving. We have to, as the epistle says, we have to turn the spiritual. We have to be led by the Spirit of God if we desire to be sons of God, if we desire to be truly pleasing in the eyes of God. We have to always turn back to those things, away from the muse, away from those temptations, and towards Him, because we might not get satisfaction right here and now. We might not get that instant gratification that we all, as a society, seek after so easily. That, I want it now, gratification. I want happiness this instant. I want pleasure this instant. I want comfort this instant. We might not get that now, but we all get a comfort and a pleasure and a joy, a happiness in our hearts, knowing that we've done the right thing in the eyes of God, that will last with us for a long time. And if we can maintain that and continue to work to follow that Spirit of God, then we'll maintain it for all of eternity. And that pleasure will be so much greater than anything we could find in this world. And it will last eternally. That's what it means for us to be sons of God. And as the epistle says, to be sons of God, then we will become heirs of God. And the fortune he leaves us is heaven. So don't be drawn by those muses. Don't look to the things of the world. Don't look to those instant comforts. Turn away from them. Fight against that inclination. And always, always put God as that first point in our lives. And if we have that love of a son or a daughter to him, then surely he will be that good father unto us. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.